Welcome to Venturi's Voice. I'm Andy Davis. Venturi's Voice brings together thought leaders from a variety of industries who are taking the most innovative approaches to leadership and staffing. Imagine having a mix of experienced mentors sharing their secrets on leadership, recruiting, onboarding, engagement, and motivating, as well as stories on life lessons they've learned along the way. And it's free. If you're the head of a major corporation leading a team of hundreds or about to take on your first leadership role, this podcast is for you. The show is about you, and we're here to help you become the best leader you can be. Stay up to date with the latest shows by subscribing on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as signing up to the newsletter at venturi-group.com, where you can find the latest IT jobs, talent, and blogs on all things leadership, staffing, and development. I'd love to hear from you, so drop me a line anytime via email at andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback or requests are always welcome. Enjoy the show. Today's guest is Ian Hayfield, DevOps Manager at Ancoa. You know, you're obviously now working within kind of DevOps, and that's quite, I suppose it's relatively new, isn't it? I suppose it's kind of bringing two sort of disciplines together. You know, when you look at kind of something like DevOps and how that's kind of become what it is now, it's quite compelling to see how kind of technology is evolving and almost having more of a demand now for technologists to kind of be multifaceted in their disciplines now.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that. And I think what we're seeing is that in 2 years' time, probably it's all change again. So it's interesting just seeing the relentless pace of it all.
It still must be very confusing about like where to kind of spend your time and energy and into kind of learning new things, I suppose.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I think it's one of those things where it's just driven by what you need to do on the job. So what's your next problem? What's killing your organization? And then you just learn that, really.
Yeah. And I suppose that's if you kind of envision yourself, I suppose, staying with one organization for an extended period of time. I suppose that's probably quite good for the companies, or is it, I suppose, easy enough to learn new concepts if people are moving to different places?
Yeah, I've always taken the view that you learn one thing and that helps you learn everything else. And so you learn one thing for one company, probably another company will need the same problems fixed anyway, because I mean, companies are very much alike. And then even if you'd never use it again, you've learned something that's useful somewhere else, to just, you know, as a hook to start your learning somewhere else.
Yeah, you obviously worked over at IBM, so huge organization. I suppose what was the experience there?
Yeah, so I worked on a massive project for IBM, and it was a very good culture of, you prove yourself a little bit and they'll really help you out, give you people to work with. And then, they do, to some extent, throw you in the deep end, and that's probably where you learn the most, I find.
Yeah, I think so. It's certainly been my experience of that as well. I suppose not everyone's probably quite as comfortable in that environment, but I certainly think that it is probably the best way to learn. I think, I'm certainly trying to take that approach a little bit with, the new members of my team.
I think it's very important to give them the need to learn it right now and really get on with the task always, because you find that if it's just like something that is a nice to have in the future and you can make do without, it's really hard to bring yourself to really get it over the line.
Yeah, I think so. But at the same time, I suppose it's a skill in itself, to be aware of that. Be aware of like what is necessary right now and what is a kind of nice to have. Having that awareness in itself is actually a skill and something that certainly a lot of people have a downfall on.
Yeah. I always like to think of it as basically what's going to save the team the most time, or what's going to save us the most money, and really coming back to that every time you think about it. So a lot of the time it's the really, really simple stuff that saves you the most money and really is the most business value. So, quite often level one support will be spending you know, hours upon hours every week just entering in people's new user info. And if you can just automate that, you know, you've saved a, you know, probably one full-time employee, really.
Right. Yeah, I think so. It's a great example. You know, automation and is the essence of technology, I suppose. It's handling tasks that, you know, we don't want to do and don't necessarily have to do as people. Hopefully we can think about more creative things. So if we can get a piece of technology to do that for us, then that's an area that we should consider, I suppose.
Yeah. I almost think that if someone spends more time than automation actually really saves, it's probably still worth it. The person's probably learned so much from that, and we probably know the whole system even better, that it's probably worth it.
Yeah, it really is an interesting take, because it's like, be able to automate, you have to kind of fundamentally understand the process and what's happening. It's not just this basic kind of black and white scenario where I do this and type that. It's like actually understanding what's happening behind it all and what the purpose is and the intent for everything. Really interesting. Actually, I've not really heard that before, but I think you're right on there. And the when we look at kind of DevOps now, you know, is that kind of becoming a big part of DevOps? And assuming that's kind of why, you know, DevOps kind of has occurred, is because of, you know, things like automation and becoming a little bit more efficient with some of the development and ops side of things that you're doing. Is that almost how it's kind of came about in the first place?
Yeah, I've always found DevOps a really interesting thing, because I've always worked with people who call themselves DevOps professionals. And the question is, like, so DevOps is just the concatenation of development and operations, and it's the idea that we need to work together, otherwise, you know, the pipeline just crashes at some point. You know, often devs might throw something over the fence to ops, and ops will find that it just doesn't work. And so that's a really useful thing to know. But then, do you really need someone as a professional doing that to just evangelize that? So it seems like DevOps isn't really what it says on the tin. And to me, it's always looked like, if you look at the professionals, it's always just people who used to be in ops and then sort of automated themselves out of a job. And now they're DevOps, which is just the automation of things. That's people who've automated themselves out of a job and now are just automating everything.
Right. Interesting. And is DevOps is, I'm assuming it's not your background. Were you from the kind of the technical side or the operational side of things? What was your kind of background, and how did you, I suppose, end up becoming a DevOps manager, with that being said?
Yeah, so I did a bit of everything. IBM was very good in their graduate scheme of just getting people to move around and seeing different parts of the business. So I first did a bit of PMO type work, so managing a project. And that was all right for me, but I found that, one, it was doing the regular stuff like filling out timesheets that just killed me. And so I just wanted to automate that and ended up automating a bit of that. And then that really led to me realizing that I wanted to code stuff. I wanted to have a product at the end of the day rather than just tell other people to do things. So I then moved into technically a second line support task. So lots of user admin and dealing with, you know, there's not enough space on a disk on some server somewhere. So fixing that was good. It gave me a real taste for Linux and a few other technologies. And what I learned there is that the user access stuff, I just had to automate it because it was just so mind numbing. And, you know, I didn't know the perfect way of doing it in that case, but I still did it in a way and it still saved us a lot of time. So that was great. And then through doing that, I remember just keep going up to my manager and just being like, you've got a space for a DBA at the moment. And that's one thing I saw as like something I could really get my teeth into and learn. And so I just kept going up to them and just telling them, I'm going to be your next DBA. I'm going to be your next DBA. And then the architect sat me down one, like a little while later, and was just like, do you really want to be a DBA? Do you really think you can do this? And I said, yeah, I can do this. So that led me into being a DBA in what was the DevOps team inside that project. And so I learned a lot of SQL, and then also that team, there was a lot of automation going on. So we were automating all the deployments of patches for the various databases. And then also did a lot of work around dashboarding as well. So, and those are quite, they're what I think their industry sees as very big DevOps type tasks, sort of dashboarding and monitoring, and then also also deployment, really.
Right. And then that's, yeah, and that was kind of your way into it. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But, and it is quite a, you know, I suppose we, the guys see that a lot from the recruitment perspective when people are kind of like, we need, you know, someone in DevOps. It's just like, you have to get so much deep, more detail than I suppose the title would suggest, you know, about kind of what their background, their experiences, their, what their capabilities are. It's quite a difficult thing to kind of specialize in. It.
Yeah, we're definitely just seeing more and more technologies coming in, and you get people specializing in certain things within DevOps a lot more now as well.
Yeah. So I wonder as well, like even internationally, whether it's kind of people think about it from a different perspective as well.
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of DevOps. Like I think you'd explain the fundamental DevOps is doing that pipeline between development and operations. But in my experience, DevOps has also been a lot of sort of automating infrastructure as code, that type of thing. And you know, that's breaking away a little bit more from that fundamental definition of DevOps, development operations working together.
You're obviously now, you know, a manager. What was the, you know, kind of first time you took on management responsibilities? What was that experience like going from, you know, kind of just the sort of being on the tools, for lack of a better term, to all of a sudden managing people? You know, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was something that it was as often happens. It was one of those things that you just take on because there's no one else to do it. And so I was in a sort of team, so to speak. It was a team of just me, and the responsibilities for my team just kept adding up and up and up. And then I'd, you know, done well to try and keep those in check. And then we realized we just needed more people in that team. So at first I got sort of time from two other people, so a part of their time, so two really good developers. And then eventually I had to recruit someone new in just to try and take a bit of that load off me, a lot of the everyday type stuff. And so it's good. I think the cheeky thing is that as a manager, you can just go, this new person, they need to learn the ropes. They can just do the everyday type tasks, which leads me to get on with the good automation type tasks that really add value. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's just how it, yeah, I guess that's just kind of how it sort of naturally happened. It was just kind of thrown in. I suppose that's probably quite typical, actually, I suppose,
yeah.
the more you think about it. But it's nonetheless, it's like a unique skill set in itself. Now I can do things the way I want to do them. And, you know, I can do things the way that, you know, I would want to be managed and stuff like that. So I suppose it was quite, you know, nice when I actually had to sit down and think about, you know, exactly what was going to happen. But I suppose before that I was like, I'll avoid it if possible. But then I suppose like you get to the point where, you know, if you want to kind of continue to progress, you know, it's quite limiting just trying to take the world on your own.
Yeah, definitely. It's very interesting you say that you manage the way that you'd want to be managed, because I've always found that I'd want to be managed in a very sort of laid-back way. And so it's always a question of, does this person want to be managed in the same way or need to be managed in the same way? But that's just something I think you learn over time, really, with each person in your team. I've also found that management's brilliant, especially so when you bring on a new member of your team and you've been doing something manually just continually and just been like, it'll cost me more to actually bother doing anything about this. I'll just continue doing this. I've always found it's best to just throw that at one of the new guys and just go on, do it. And then they will automatically go, I really don't want to do this. And so actually find a solution you didn't think of. And that's a wonderful thing about management.
Yeah. I think
a fresh pair of eyes.
Yeah, it's great. It's great when you get, and it does actually keep you on your toes as well. It really does. I do appreciate that a lot about it.
Yeah, I've always found they come back to me and they give me a really good solution, and my mind's automatically like, no, I can't have not thought of this. It must be a terrible idea. And then you think about it a bit more and you're like, actually, no, that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I do that too, sadly. Obviously, don't want to keep you for too much longer, but the technology side of things, obviously, I think is compelling to you, and working on particular projects. I always find it interesting to ask, though, people who work within tech now is, you know, how much is it about the technology and the projects that you're working on as it is about outcomes? And, you know, how do you feel about that as far as how that, I suppose, engages and sort of motivates you?
Yeah. So from a business perspective, I think there's too many managers who just come out and go, oh, this thing called Puppet is really cool. We need to implement Puppet. And you just sit back and you just think to yourself, what is your end goal here? What are you trying to solve with implementing Puppet or implementing some other technology? And I think as a business, you should always turn around and go, oh, no, what first I need to do is identify a need and then solve to that need. But as a person, obviously, you have very competing goals, really. And as a person, often I'd much rather be sticking my head in some code and really, using new technology, really. So I think it's a matter of luck when those two things align.
Yeah. So I suppose do you have to consider that, like, you know, if you were to take on a new project or something, it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe one offering is is a bit more compelling, but you know what, these guys are working with really cool kind of technologies, the latest and greatest, you know, outcomes versus, I suppose, you know, day to day. What do you kind of favor, I suppose?
I would always favor the business side, because at the end of the day, that's who's paying you, really. It's a hard thing to decide, but I think business always comes first, because at the end of the day, you've used a new technology and you haven't really solved the problem, or you've not solved it as well, then it just looks bad on that new technology and you'll get less opportunities in the future to explore those new technologies.
Right, of course. Yeah, well, exactly. It's like if the project isn't done as expected, yeah, the chances of putting a bid in for an investment in the latest technology is pretty difficult when you're trying to convince maybe a higher level non-technical person.
So,
interesting. And I think that's probably why you've had successes and you're continuing to progress massively and got to where you are now, is because you're thinking from the business perspective. A lot of technical people probably fall down and would say, I'd rather work on the best tech. And I think that's something that a lot of technical people are probably going to have to get used to.
Yeah, I've definitely found that.
Well, Ian, I think it's been a pleasure, mate. Last thing, I suppose, outside of that, technology, just from a complete nerd's perspective for me, what are you looking forward to seeing happen? That might be just about to come out. What technologies are you pretty excited about?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of AWS for my sins. And what I love now is the move towards serverless, really, which, I mean, it's weird because I think it'll probably put me out of a job pretty soon. But serverless just looks so brilliant. And so I'm really looking forward to getting to, you know, make whole architectures in a serverless environment where, you know, I don't have to touch the server at all. Even though I enjoy doing that, but the idea of it just all being automated away and abstracted completely is just really, really excites me for some reason.
Yeah, no, I think so. Amazon are doing some pretty incredible things, and that founder's certainly he's making a bit of money out of it as well, isn't he?
Well, that's the side of their business that actually makes the money, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's so true. Everyone thinks that it's the e-commerce platform, but it's actually not. Good for him. But I agree, Amazon are doing some pretty incredible things, and there's lots of exciting things to come. I certainly look forward to the next latest and greatest. But in the meantime, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for sharing with us, and I really enjoyed the take on all things DevOps today. It's great.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. Please make sure you subscribe at iTunes or SoundCloud, or check out the website, venturi-group.com, and keep up to date with the latest IT jobs, talent, news, and podcasts. Or drop me a line. It's andy.davis@venturi-group.com. Any feedback, topics, or guest suggestions are always welcome. And thanks again for listening to the show. See you next time.